All right, good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. God did it again. He allowed us to wake up, gave us an opportunity to be here, and we want to take full advantage of it. We've been thinking about kingdom living, looking at several of Jesus' parables, and I said to you in the beginning that the whole idea of his parables is to help us understand better what it's like to be in and to live in the kingdom of God, that is to abide under the reign of Jesus Christ in our hearts. What does that look like? What does that really mean? God is helping us to see what all that means in these parables. And I'll just remind you, if you were here with us on Friday night, I just told you what the meaning of a parable is. You have to keep that in mind. It helps you make meaning of what Jesus is saying. The word parable means to lay down beside. And so Jesus lays down an episode that people might be very familiar with, something they can understand, they can wrap their minds around. And then he says, okay, now if you can understand that, you have to extrapolate the principle that you can take from this and apply that now to kingdom living. And we've looked at several of those parables. We looked at the persistent widow, and what was the point there? The idea is that we are supposed to be persistent in prayer because God provides. Jesus says, you look at this woman here and how she keeps going to this unjust judge and how eventually he does what she needs done. He doesn't do that out of a generous motivation. He does it because he's bothered. He says, but now if he will do what she needs done out of that motivation, what about your Father in heaven? Persistent in prayer. We looked at the prodigal son. And we saw that Jesus was trying to help us see we should be repentant about our sin because God receives. You know what? You get out there, you mess up, God will take you back. If you repent, come to yourself and return to him with a humble spirit, God will take you back. He'll receive you. We also looked at the shrewd steward and what was the idea there. Listen, we have to be wise about how we use what Jesus described as unrighteous mammon. The stuff that we have, we only have temporarily. It belongs to him. And so we should use it while we have it to ingratiate ourselves, to prepare for our heavenly tabernacles. That's the point. You know, the money, the cars, the houses, those things aren't intrinsically valuable. They're valuable because we can use them to advance the master's agenda. And that's what should be in our minds. And we also looked last night at the seed and the soils. And what was the idea there? Well, listen, we're not in the business of inspecting all the soils and figuring out what's all wrong with the soils. We're supposed to be in the business of sowing the seed, the word of God. And so we're liberal in our sowing. And I just tried to remind you that at that time, they didn't do what we do, sort of going around poking individual holes in the ground. They just broadcast the seed. And that's what I was hoping to encourage you to do. You know, what you should do is every day you wake up, realize you have a sack of grain tied around your back. And when you leave for the day, the idea is that you will come home having emptied your sack of grain. And some of it's going to fall in places that won't be productive. That's not the point. The point is you empty your sack. You communicate the word of God. Some of it will find good ground. And guess what God will do? He will give the increase. This morning, I want to look at the master and his talents. I made mention of this parable. Let's look at it today, Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, you'll know that in chapter 24, Jesus has told his disciples that judgment is going to come and they're concerned about that. God, when is that going to happen? What's that going to look like? And he sort of gives them some indicators so that they can know when Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. But ultimately, if they're wanting to know when he's going to come back, there's not going to be a sign for that. No man knows the day or the hour. In chapter 25, he begins with one parable, and Luke doesn't do this as much, but just notice how the chapter began. Matthew makes it really clear that the parables are about the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 25 and verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." And the purpose of this first parable is to help people realize that they needed to be prepared when he comes again. Listen, I'm not going to tell you the day or the time, but you know this, I am coming. And when I come, it'll be at a time you don't expect. You just be ready. You know what that means for you and I? We just abide in a ready state. We don't get ready. No, we stay ready. We're always ready, because when Jesus shows up, it'll be too late to get ready. He disavowed the virgins who were not prepared. We don't want to be in that condition. I don't know when Jesus is going to call me home. I don't know when God is going to take me. But here's what I do know. He will call me home. He will take me. And I just need to be ready. Now, listen. The second parable in the chapter, that's the one that we'll focus on, the master and his talents. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says here, "For it is as when a man going into another country calls his own servants and delivers them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several or individual ability. And he went on his journey. Straightway he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. In like manner also he that received 2 gained other 2. But he that received 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time the Lord of those servants comes and makes a reckoning with them. And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained other 5 talents. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also that received the 2 talents said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained other 2 talents. His Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also that had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the earth. Look, you have what's yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I don't sow, and you knew that I gather where I didn't scatter. You ought therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Take you away, therefore, the talent from him, and give it to him that has the 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And cast you the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The master and his servant. Jesus speaks of a man who has a great deal of resources. And the occasion arises that he needs to travel from his location to some other. He's going to go into another country. The old version says he's going to go into a far country. Now listen, in the meantime, while he's going to absent himself, he still has business that has to carry on in the meanwhile. So he calls 3 of his servants, 3 people who are in his employ, 3 people who are benefiting from him. They're in a symbiotic relationship with him. I mean, he's benefiting from their labor, but they are benefiting from his care. So he calls them. Listen, servants of mine, I have elsewhere to be. I have other things to do. But in the meantime, I expect my work to continue. And so I will give to you, servant number 1, 5 talents. Listen, 5 talents, a lot of money. 1 talent would equal about 20 years of labor. I trust you with 100 years worth of pay. And you will handle and occupy until I come. Servant number 2, listen, I will give to you 2 talents. That's about 40 years of labor. And I will entrust to you these resources and expect you to occupy and handle for me until I come again. Servant number 3, 1 talent, 20 years of labor. If you bent your knees and bowed your back every day for 20 years, it would take you that long to earn this. And I give it into your hand with the expectation that you will handle for me and occupy until I come again. He distributes upwards of 150 years of income into the hands of these 3 men. And then he takes his leave. It's interesting that he does it this way. He does not give it to them and then stand over their shoulders and sort of watch everything that they do. He just says, listen, it's mine. I trust it to you. I expect you to handle it right. These people have entered into a stewardship. It's a fiduciary relationship. And we spoke about this on yesterday. It's not their stuff, it's his stuff. He expects them, though, to handle it. And in the meantime, they will benefit from being able to wield his resources, but they will always be his resources. He distributes these goods and he takes his leave. I mean, he's a very generous master, isn't he? I'll tell you something else that we can see about the master's character. He is equitable. That is to say, he's fair. Somebody would say, well, listen, he ought to have given each of them the self-same amount. I mean, he had 10 talents, 3 people, give each one 3 and let the other one sit over here and collect dust. We think that would be fair. The master, though, is wiser than we are. He gives to each person, the Bible says, according to his several or individual ability. You know what a good leader does? A good leader recognizes what has to be done, and he assesses the abilities of the folks that he is leading, and he puts each person in a position to be successful in a way that contributes to the accomplishing of the ultimate goal. The master, he knows his servants. He knows what they can do. He knows what they can handle. And he gives to each one according to what he can do and what he can handle. I tell you what, I appreciate having a boss or a supervisor or a leader who can look at me, know my strengths, know my weaknesses, and always ask me to do things that he knows I can do. And if he ever asks me to stretch myself, he won't do it in an irresponsible way. Put me in a position to be successful. Well, that's what the master does. 5 for you. You know why 5 for you? Because I know you. 5 is what you can handle. 2 for you. Why 2 for you? Because 2 is what you need. 2 is what you can handle. 1 for you. Why 1? Because I know you can do a bang-up job with that one. See, he's equitable. He's trusting, too. I'm leaving. You handle for me. You occupy. You do what's right. When I come back, I expect to receive the benefit of my trust and my fairness and my generosity. And so we see this distribution. Listen. Each person has to respond to the master's generosity. Each person has to respond to his fairness and his trust. And the way they respond is going to be a reflection of their character. It's the same master. Isn't he good? Isn't he benevolent? Isn't he right? Now, the way they respond to that is going to be based on their heart and their character. Interesting. Interesting. You look at this and there is a dutifulness on the part of the first two. Man receives 5 talents. The Bible says he goes and begins to work with the 5 talents and he gains 5 talents more. You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't turn to the folk who had 2 and 1 and say, you know what, you see he gave me 5, don't you? You see what he did for me. You see he gave me 5. I've been around a little longer than you have. I can do a few things you can't do. You see what he did? He didn't have time for that. No, he leaves and begins to work with what he has. The gentleman who has 2, he doesn't have the time to sort of sit there and say, well, why didn't he give me 5? No, he had his hands full with 2, and he went and he worked with the 2 he had been given and gained 2 more for his master. There is a dutifulness. Listen, these guys, they had a good master. They were in a good position, and they seem to appreciate that. And so they go to work and they get busy. There's a dutifulness. I think there's dedication involved here as well. Why do you say that? Well, the Bible says that the master was away for a long time. You know, sometimes it's easy to go out and do what you're supposed to do that first day. Maybe that first week. Maybe that first month. But then here's the thing. When is he coming back? I don't know when he's coming back. Well, we've been at this 6 months. Do we have any indication? No, we don't have any indication when he's coming back. So this really has to do with my having some initiative within myself. I have to be motivated to do what I'm supposed to do, and it may go on for 10 years. It may go on for 20 years. We don't know. There's a dedication involved. It's not how you start, right? It's how you finish. And it's really easy sometimes to get off to a rip-running start. You guys, anybody ever tried to make these New Year's resolutions every year? Well, I'm gonna lose this much weight. I'm going to get into this kind of shape. I'm going to read my Bible this much. You'll do well for about 3 days. Right? And then it just all falls apart. You know, come February, you'd be like, well, where was I supposed to be at with my Bible reading schedule? It's not how you start. See, if you're going to be successful in doing what must be done, there is a dedication day in and day out, week in and week out, month in, year in, decade in, if you're going to be successful. And there's not going to be anyone there looking over your shoulder, making sure you are where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing. It won't work like that. You see, because when you're dedicated, you have to do when no one else can see, when no one else can appreciate. You must sacrifice when no one is going to pat you on the back. Yeah, these first two men, they are dedicated. That's why when the master comes again, they can say to him, look what you gave us. And look what we returned. I mean, they're able to be looking forward to, enthusiastic about his return, because they know they have been diligent and dedicated. The third fellow, he's a little different than the first two. He's derelict in his duties. You see what he does. The first two immediately go and begin to work, immediately go and be about the master's business. The third fellow, the Bible says, took his talent and hid it in the earth. Now, why did he do that? I suppose there's several reasons he could have done that. I mean, it may be that he did not want to accept the responsibility, right? He doesn't appreciate the position he's been put in. I mean, the master has trusted me and he's gone. Don't know exactly when he's coming back. And I mean, listen, I've never had this kind of resource in my hands before. It would take my whole life to try to put this together. And he's just given it to me and entrusted me. He's not giving me all these instructions every day, micromanaging me and so forth. And I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to bury it in the earth. It could be that he was just shirking responsibility. You know, maybe this gentleman just didn't want people to know he had it. You know, when you bury it in the earth, nobody even knows you have it. I don't know all of his reasoning, but here's the bottom line. He was derelict in his responsibility. Hiding the talent, burying the talent, was not an option. It wasn't a faithful option. It wasn't a righteous option. It was not a godly option. It wasn't an option. Well, the master distributes his goods, and these three men have to respond to the master's generosity and kindness. Now, ultimately, you see, the master does return. The master comes back. Listen, there's going to be a day of reckoning. We talked about stewardship. It's the same thing, a fiduciary relationship. The stuff isn't your stuff. It's the master's stuff. The master has entrusted it to you for a finite period of time. In the meantime, he expects you to work with and occupy until he comes. Until he comes, because he is coming. And the Bible says when he returns, there is the reckoning. Look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and makes a reckoning with them. Well, where have you been? Doesn't matter where I've been. Where is my stuff? You were away a little longer than we expected. Don't worry about that. Where is my stuff? See, because the business that I went to handle, guess whose business that was? That was my business. And the things that I left with you and entrusted you to do, guess whose business that was? That was my business too. Where are my talents? Where are my talents? The wealth, the resources, the opportunity, the privilege. I will have an accounting of my stuff. First two men, listen, they no doubt had been anticipating this event for some time. The master was gone for a long time, you know, and that first day they were thinking, boy, I better get busy. The master, when he comes back, he's going to want to see something. That first week, boy, listen, I don't know. He's giving me more time than I expected, and that gives me more time to work and to secure a return. You know, a year passes, 2 years. Boy, I don't know when he's coming back, but I tell you what, the longer he gives me, the more opportunity for me to work and the greater return I can secure. And then he shows up. I'll have an accounting of my stuff. Lord, look, you gave me 5 talents, and behold, I have secured 5 talents more. I appreciate the fact that you trusted me with those 5, and I had my hands full with the 5. I worked with, I labored, I used, I deployed the 5 talents you gave me, and I've secured 5 more. Master, look, here are the 5 you gave me, and here are the 5 I was able to secure in my service for you. There's excitement in the day of reckoning. There's excitement about the master's return. And look, the master is happy. The master is pleased. Well done. Well done. You know, during that time while the master was away, no one may have had the recognition. No one may have had the appreciation to say to that servant, well done. Because who cared, right? It was the master's goods. Everybody else is doing whatever they're doing. These 3 men all are very busy, all preoccupied doing the master's work, or should have been. And maybe no one for 6 months, 6 years says to this guy, well done. But when the master comes, see, then he gets his recognition. Well done. The man's character. The master says, you good, you faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I didn't give you everything I had. I mean, I know it seemed like a lot to you. I mean, 5 talents. I know everybody else would look at that and think, well, he's a rich man. I didn't give you everything I had. I just gave you a taste. And you've been faithful over that. I want you to come now. I want you to abide with me. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Boy, isn't that good? Now, if you're the guy with the 2 talents and you just saw that, you were already figuring, you know, I've done everything I could. Master comes back. I'm going to give him what he gave me and give him a little bit more too. But then you saw him. You saw him. You see how he received the guy with the 5. Well, wait a minute now, Master. Wait a minute. I want you to see. You gave me 2 talents and look what I have. I've gained 2 talents more as well. Look at this. Look what I have done. Look what I have brought to you. And the master looks at him and look at what he says. This guy brought me 5. That's all you have is to... No, he didn't do that. Did you see that? He didn't do that. Well done. See, it may be that all that time while I was away, you were looking at the guy who had the 5 and may thinking to yourself, well, I wish I could generate a little more. I wish I could. That guy's, I see him, he's got more going on than I have. Well, no, see, the master doesn't do that. I gave you what I knew you could handle, and it is apparent to me that you have handled in my absence to the best of your ability. You have been dutiful. You have been dedicated. Well done. He may never have heard that during his master's absence, but upon the master's return, well done. His character, good, faithful. You've been faithful over a few things. Why don't you now come and abide with me? Enter into the joy of your Lord. It was just a few things. It was just the sampling. I know it seemed like a lot. You may have felt overwhelmed. Other people may have looked at it and thought you were rich. But listen, it was just a taste. Now you come and abide with me. I wonder what the third fellow's thinking, you know, as he sees all of this. I had the same amount of time those guys had. I had the same opportunity. No, I didn't have five talents, didn't have two, but I could only handle one, and that's what he gave me. Had my hands full with the one, but he's welcoming them. He's ready to receive them. He's pleased with them. He's patting them on the back. He's inviting them to abide with him, and now I've got to give an account. Now I've got to explain. Well, don't have any increase. Lord, listen. I knew you. I knew the kind of man you are. I know you're a hard man. You're severe, you know. And that concerned me. That made me afraid. I didn't want to accept the responsibility. I didn't want to sort of appreciate the challenge, and so I went and hid your talent in the earth. And I don't want you to feel like you lost anything. Here's the talent you gave me. I give it right back to you. It's got a little dirt on it. We can get that off. I mean, but this is what you gave me. I'm just giving it right back to you how you gave it to me. And the master receives this a little differently, though, doesn't he? Because here's what happened. The man was offering an excuse. He was offering an excuse. But the master does not excuse him. You know, sometimes my kids, they come in and I, listen, didn't I tell you to do this and that? Didn't I tell you not to do this or that? And what bothers me more than anything is when the first thing out of their mouths is what somebody else did. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be able to accept that. I'm asking you about your behavior, your responsibilities, my expectations for you. And if you want to talk to me about somebody else, my ability to listen and consume this is very limited. You're offering excuses. No excuse for you shirking your responsibility. Listen, he offers an excuse. His excuse is not accepted. He's not excused. The Lord comments on his character. You wicked and slothful servant. The first two, good. This one, wicked. The first two, faithful. This one, slothful. When he refers to the first two then as being good, what does he mean? You have an upright, moral character that accepts responsibility. When he calls the first two faithful, what does he mean? You are dutiful and diligent to be trusted with responsibility. This one is wicked. What does that mean? You have a base character, a low character. You're wicked. What does that mean? You are not to be trusted. You're not trustworthy. Because you have demonstrated yourself to be wicked and slothful, here is what I will do for you. You knew that I was severe. You knew that I was harsh. Some people read that and they misunderstand. What he's saying is not a confirmation that the man's assessment, the man's attempt at an excuse is accurate. The word that's translated knew there means you perceived. Oh, you thought in your mind that that's how I was. Now, let me tell you the problem. If you really believe that about me, you would not have handled this matter the way you did. You would have taken my resources and given them to the bankers in the very least so that I could have my own. It was always mine, even when you buried it, with some interest. If you thought I was this kind of severe, there's no way in the world you would show up and try to tell me you have nothing to show. Now you are depending on my mercy. But you tell me you understand me to be severe. I tell you what we'll do. The one talent that he has, take it. Take it from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Give it to the one who has shown that he can handle the responsibility. Give the one to him. And this one, because he has been wicked and slothful, rather than invite him into my presence, rather than invite him to abide with me, cast him out where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that severe enough for you? That's what you expected, right? Listen, the man was not being honest. And the Lord confronts him about his dishonesty. But the man deserved to be punished for his unfaithfulness. So he was. And so he was. Listen, this is an account that has always stuck out to me. I don't think it's hard for us to see. Jesus gives us this episode, and he expects us to lay it beside our understanding about the kingdom of heaven and how it functions. I don't think it's hard to see. The master in this account is our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not hard to see. They had just asked him in the previous chapter, Lord, tell us what will be the signs of all these things, the judgment that was to come, that was to fall upon the Jerusalem and of your coming. Listen, no man knows the day or the hour, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Chapter 25, beginning at verse number 1, you better be prepared. You better be ready. These 10 virgins, 5 ready, 5 not. Guess what? The 5 who weren't, they were disavowed. You better be prepared when I come. Beginning at verse number 14, you better be productive while I'm away. You better not sit around here wasting time. Listen, I'm entrusting you with my talents, and I'm giving you the privilege and the opportunity of occupying and using them until I come back again. And I'll tell you what I can expect when I come back. I expect you to be productive. I expect you to have something to show for it. Jesus is the master who has gone away into the far country. Y'all remember in John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has gone away. He's got some business to handle. Look, it's his business. He's going to take care of it. But in the meantime, he expects us to carry on his business here. This is still his business. And when he comes back, he's expecting to see evidence of our faithfulness. Jesus is the master. Heaven is the far country. And we are the servants. And sometimes, you know, you can look at somebody and say, well, I mean, this guy's, boy, he can do all of these different things. He's got 5 talents. And we don't have that kind of time to be distracted about what he's given to somebody else. We don't have that kind of time. You know why? Listen, I always imagine myself as the two-talent man. That's the way I perceive myself. There's some people who have been given more than I have. And I'm aware of that. It doesn't bother me. There are some people who have been given more than I have. But I can, so I think it's just being objective and honest. There's some people who have not been given as much as I have, you know. So that puts me right there in the middle. And I don't have the time to look at somebody, well, I wish I could do this the way he did. I don't have that kind of time. My hands are full with what I have. Why would I look at somebody else and say, well, he can't do this as well as I can? That would be foolish. I don't have that kind of time. When am I going to be about the master's business? I tell you what. Once I get this job situation squared away, then I'm going to find a little time to get back to the master's business. Listen, I'm not going to worry too much about what the master wants right now, because I'm sure he will understand that I've got to get all these various degrees. Now, when I finish these degrees, I'm going to get right back to what he's talking about. Listen, he knows I've got some things I need to accomplish. Got to get my money right. I believe he would want me to get my money right. Once I get my money right, then I will go back and try to get on top of his. I don't have that kind of time. I don't know how you mark time, but I know I don't have that kind of time. I have to be about his business now. If he gave me 5 talents, when he returns, I can't show up and say, well, you gave me 5, and here are the 5 you gave me, and a couple more. He's expecting me to use the 5 he gave me and to bring him at least 5 more. Every day that I waste not being about his business is a day I spend in wickedness. A day I spend in sloth. I don't have that kind of time. What are you doing with the time while our Lord is away in a far country? What are you doing with it? Well, I can tell you something. If you are good and faithful, the day of his return is something to be excited about. I mean, one of these days, I mean, the Lord is going to come back. And when he comes back, I'm looking to see his face in peace. Lord, listen, I just appreciated the fact that you allowed me to have the breath in my lungs to speak. And so when I spoke a word in your name. I appreciate the fact that you gave me so many financial resources. I suppose I could have been born in some other place, and in that place there wasn't as much affluence and there wasn't as much opportunity available. You know, sometimes we think we work hard. You know, you get in your vehicle and drive in your air conditioning and you sit in Atlanta traffic, and then you walk 30 feet into your air conditioned office and sit in a cushy chair for 8 hours, and then you get up and say, well, I'm worn out. Work hard today. No, listen, there are people in this world who put Coke bottles under their feet to protect them and go and walk miles and miles and dig in the earth to find something to eat. And here we are living in luxury. Living in luxury. And I just figure, you know, the Lord expects me to do something with that. He doesn't want me to waste time flitting around living in luxury for my own self. He wants me to use that for his benefit. So when he comes back, you know what, Lord, you gave me 2 talents. And I appreciate what you did. I know you didn't have to do that. And I know you gave me 2 because you knew I could handle 2. And I was about your business from the first day unto the last. And so here are the 2 and 2 more. We are the servants. And it's unfortunate, but it is true. Some of the Lord's servants are wicked at heart and slothful in business. Listen, it's unfortunate, but it's true. Some people do not respect the opportunity that Jesus gives. They do not respect the privilege, and they're just full of excuses. The Lord knows what He has given us, and He's going to expect a return. And He's going to reward us according to our character, as evidenced by our work. Yeah. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You wicked and slothful servant, full of excuses, I do not excuse you. Take from him what I gave him. Cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping. There will be gnashing of teeth. Well, what's the point? What's the point? Jesus is telling us that kingdom living must be characterized by faithful service. We are to be faithful in our service because God rewards. Now you'll notice something, if you will notice this, in each of these parables, there are two things we should observe. One is what God expects us to do, how He expects us to behave, how He expects us to conduct ourselves in the kingdom. The second is the reason we should be motivated to do these things. First, what He wants us to do. Second, what we understand God will do. Are you following this? Persistent in prayer. Why? Because God provides. You will persist because you know what He will do. Repentant about your sin. Why? Because God rejoices. He's not like the older brother. He will deal with the older brother. You just humble yourself and repent and come home because you know He is faithful and just to repeat, to forgive you and receive you. You know that. He'll rejoice when you come. Shrewd in your service. Why? Why be shrewd? You know that God is going to recognize your wisdom and receive you into the heavenly tabernacles. Liberal in your sowing the seed of the kingdom. Why? Because you know that He gives the increase. Faithful in your service to God. Why? Because you know that He rewards. Kingdom living. What does God want me to do? And what is God going to do in return? It's a relationship that we have. This is how I respond to Him, and this is how He responds to me. Well, I'm thankful that we serve a master like the one we do. And we should make sure that we are diligent day in and day out. I don't know what He's given you. I don't know what He's given you, but here's what I do know. He gave you something, and He has expectations. Don't disappoint. Thank you for your time this morning.